With his hand, he smoothed down his ruffled gray mass of wire-like hair.
Skip the rest, and tell me which of Hollis's people is missing now.
S. Dole Melipone, the technician said.
What? Melipone's gone? You kid me.
I not kid you, the technician assured him. Edie Dorn and two other inertials followed him to a motel named the Bonds of Erotic Polymorphic Experience, a 60-unit subsurface structure catering to businessmen and their hookers who don't want to be entertained. Edie and her colleagues didn't think he was active, but just to be on the safe side, we had one of our own telepaths, Mr. Gigi Ashwood, go in and read him. Ashwood found a scramble pattern surrounding Melipone's mind, so he couldn't do anything. He therefore went back to Topeka, Kansas, where he's currently scouting a new possibility.
Runciter, more awake now, had lit a cigarette. Chin in hand, he sat propped up somberly, smoke drifting across the scanner of his end of the bi-channel circuit.
You sure the teep was Melipone? Nobody seems to know what he looks like. He might use a different physiognomic template every month. What about his field?
We asked Joe Chip to go in there and run tests on the magnitude and minitude of the field being generated there at the Bonds of Erotic Polymorphic Experience Motel. Chip says it registered, at its height, 68.2 BLR units of telepathic aura, which only Melipone, among all the known telepaths, can produce.
The technician finished.
So that's where we stuck Melipone's ident flag on the map. And now it is gone.
Did you look on the floor? Behind the map?
It's gone electronically. The man it represents is no longer on Earth, or as far as we can make out, on a colony world either.
Runciter said,
I'll consult my dead wife.
It's the middle of the night. The moratoriums are closed now.
Not in Switzerland,
Runciter said, with a grimacing smile, as if some repellent midnight fluid had crept up into his aged throat.
Good eve.
Runciter hung up. As owner of the beloved Brethren Moratorium, Herbert Schonheit von Vogelsang, of course, perpetually came to work before his employees. At this moment, with the chilly, echoing building just beginning to stir, a worried-looking clerical individual with nearly opaque glasses and wearing a tabby fur blazer and pointed yellow shoes waited at the reception counter, a claim check stub in his hand. Obviously, he had shown up to holiday greet a relative. Resurrection Day, a holiday on which the half-lifers were publicly honored, lay just around the corner. The rush would soon be beginning.
Yes, sir, Herbert said to him with an affable smile. I'll take your stub personally.
It's an elderly lady, the customer said. About 80, very small and wizened. My grandmother.
'Twill only be a moment.
Herbert made his way back to the cold pack bins to search out number 305-4039-B. When he located the correct party, he scrutinized the lading report attached. It gave only 15 days of half-life remaining. Not very much, he reflected. Automatically, he pressed a portable protophase and amplifier into the transparent plastic hull of the casket, tuned it, listened at the proper frequency for indication of cephalic activity. Faintly from the speaker, a voice said,
And then Tilly sprained her ankle, and we never thought it'd heal. She was so foolish about it, wanting to start walking immediately.
Satisfied, he unplugged the amplifier and located a union man to perform the actual task of carting 305-4039-B to the consultation lounge, where the customer would be put in touch with the old lady.
You checked her out, did you?
The customer asked as he paid the post-creds due.
Personally, Herbert answered, functioning perfectly.
He kicked a series of switches, then stepped back.
Happy Resurrection Day, sir.
Thank you.
The customer seated himself facing the casket, which steamed in its envelope of cold pack. He pressed an earphone against the side of his head and spoke firmly into the microphone.
Flora, dear, can you hear me? I think I can hear you already. Flora?
When I pass, Herbert Schonheit von Vogelsang said to himself, I think I'll will my heirs to revive me one day a century. That way I can observe the fate of all mankind. But that meant a rather high maintenance cost to the heirs, and he knew what that meant. Sooner or later they would rebel, have his body taken out of cold pack and, God forbid, buried.